feel free.
Well, I had a question, Mike. You've been doing this quite a while now, and what is one of the major things you see people kind of get stuck in? Is that clear enough?
Yeah. I think a lot of people get stuck and they don't know where to start, and so they just don't know where they're actually engaging. So I think that's probably one of the biggest areas. People may have had encounters, or they may have had experiences or visions or different things, but I don't know how to get back to it. Yeah, and so I think that's one of the major areas where people have problems. Also, I think the issue of seeing, as opposed to receiving spiritual revelation, perception, I think people get bogged down in trying to visually see and then dismissing a lot of what God is communicating anyway, because they can't see. And I think my spirit can see, and our spirit can see. It doesn't have to communicate through the visual center. It can communicate to me in many other ways. And I find that some people are struggling and striving to see and actually missing the reality that God's already speaking to them, God's already communicating to them, and they are already having experiences, but they don't anchor them. And so, you know, many people will share, oh, I had this vision 5 years ago, or I had this encounter 2 years ago. And it's like, it may have been a wonderful vision or a wonderful encounter, but actually, what about today? Have you gone back into that? Have you made that your encounter that has opened up for more encounters? So I think, you know, using past experience as a doorway into the future and to present encounters, I think, is one area that people do struggle with. I think the other one is actually legislating government. And I think taking responsibility as sons is a big issue for people. You know, and I think some of it comes down to, when I shared this on Sunday with our people here, you know, the pathway of responsibility, what does the word mean? And one aspect of it means ruling and administering and governing and, you know, that, you know, having authority and power. The other one means being accountable. And the connotations that go with that are being guilty or being to blame, or it's my fault. You know, and I think that stops people through fear of getting it wrong and through fear of God having a vision of God that he's waiting to discipline us and punish us, rather than he's there to support and bless and to encourage us to pursue. And he gives us total permission to make lots and lots of mistakes, because we learn from them and we learn to overcome them and get better through it. Where some people, they make a mistake and they never do it again because of other people's reactions or people's in the past reactions to them, where God is not like people, and God does not, he's not waiting to jump on us. If we do make something wrong or we do something, he's only too willing to help us pick ourselves up and move on, because there's no guilt and condemnation so long as we respond that way. So I think I would see those as some of the bigger areas where people do get stuck. Some people are stuck in the relationship pathway and are not progressing into ruling and responsibility. And I think some people want responsibility, but they don't want to develop the relationship which supports it and encourages it. So I think these things come together. You know, I think in general, there is a lack of understanding across the board of how it all works and how it all fits together, which is, you know, why I want to try and help people understand that and work with it, you know. So, yeah. Is there anything more specific you want on that, or is that?
No, I think that was good. What about the legislative? I mean, you know, people that are doing the benches like we've been doing. Have you been seeing things happening in that? Your picture, by the way, it just gets your picture versus you live. I don't know why.
Okay. All right. Okay. I would say that in terms of benches, I'm not really seeing many benches functioning at all. I think people are beginning, and I think once you start to operate at that level, then you really have to then you have to work through the issues that come up, and that means relationship and making sure that there's a culture of honor and working through any misunderstandings, things that just the enemy will always try and throw into the mix to try and get us off track or to disrupt or anything. And actually, when we developed our bench of three here, it took 3, 4, 5 months of working through, making sure we had everything in the light, that we talked about previous things that had happened, any area, so that we could trust each other. Trust is such a major area in the kingdom. We have to trust God, but actually also, if we're going to operate in authority together, we have to trust each other and have each other's backs, and work as a culture of honor, which means if there's a problem, we tackle the problem, not the person. So we don't take offense. And we make sure if there's misunderstanding that we clarify it so that we can move forward together. So I think I can't say I've seen a lot of real legislative stuff within benches of three overall. And a lot of people who signed up for these sessions initially, who, oh yeah, I want to be part of benches, I don't think they're most of them are at that point yet. Some people are progressing, but it means you have to take responsibility for whatever the sphere God's given you to administer, and that means you're accountable, and therefore we have to be serious about it. And so I think a lot of people are still learning and still just practicing and beginning to be more familiar with, the terminology and the protocols and what you do, as opposed to being sort of fully mature and operating in it. But that's okay. I mean, so long as people are still pursuing, then that's fine. God isn't in a hurry. He knows the time, and he can certainly expand and contract whatever he needs to in terms of time. So he'd rather people really be in a place where they're functioning in it than try and rush into something and really too soon, But what we practice and learn in our own life just gets to operate on a different level when we operate in a bench, really. So we're just administering in a higher level of authority, maybe over a different sphere, but we use the same principle. So, we have to establish that in our own lives first. And I think once we do that and we're operating in lordship and we're faithful with that, then it's easier then to be invested with a level of kingship. And I think also, if you don't practice the living sacrifice part of it, then the level of authority that you can operate in will be dependent on the level of holiness that we're displaying, really, and living in. So I think, you gain access into the realms by daily presenting as a living sacrifice and going through the process of transformation that you need. If we've still got loads of coping mechanisms, skins on us, if we've still got wrong motives and thoughts and desires of our hearts, if we've still got genetic seed and bloodline issues in us, then the level of authority, even though we may be on a mountain, is going to be restricted. I mean, God is not going to give someone who has mixed seed access to do things, in a judicial sense with where great levels of authority are released. So we've got to work that stuff through. And that takes time. It's taken me quite a number of years to work through all the different things, and I still work through it every day. You know, I still give God the opportunity of opening up my heart. I still come through the cross. I still deny myself and take up the cross. You know, it's my desire. I still look in the laver and see what is reflected there. In fact, you know, I did that yesterday. You know, over the weekend, you know, it was Father's Day or something over here, and it was like, yeah, something sort of happened, and I was somewhat upset over something, but I just really didn't want to deal with it, and I just wanted to get on with it. And so my wife sort of said, "Well, are you okay?" And I was sort of, "Yeah, I'm all right," but I wasn't really okay. You know, I was all right, but not really okay. But I didn't want to go into it. But you know, I came before the laver and I looked in to see the reflection. And actually, it was distorted. So it's like, okay, well, where is it distorted? Well, it's distorted in your emotions, and therefore, okay, ooh, okay. So, well, what is it? Well, it's to do with this, and so I had to deal with some of it. I had to do some forgiveness, and I had to deal with some issues around it, and then look into the root of why that actually affected me. So, you know, I'm still really open for anything that God wants to show me. Because you know, it was linked into fatherhood and sonship, and although not, you know, the actual issue was not really an important issue, but actually it showed that there was something else that it triggered into that I needed to deal with as a root, you know. And so I think that is still a real key, and I think we live in a generation where people do want something now, and you know, instant gratification is a problem. It's not available in the kingdom because you have to invest and sow into the kingdom to reap from the kingdom, and it doesn't come in an instant, you know. And so I think a lot of these mindsets and things are the things that God is wanting to deal with us so that we can move forward and actually operate in the fullness of sonship. You know, but it does take discipline to press through, you know. If you have the desire isn't enough unless it becomes action, which means we have to practice and we have to, you know, be disciplined about it. You know, you can't have any relationship with anyone unless you spend time with them. And this is the same with God. You know, yeah, and a lot of people, I think, oh, well, it's okay for you because, you know, you got all the time in the world to be able to do this and invest these things and to grow in it. I've actually done everything in developing these things in my own life, in my own personal time with God, not in what I would class the rest of my day, because I didn't want that accusation to have any merit, you know. Yeah, it would be true if I had 10 hours a day to be able to just do in the presence of God and explore, then yeah, that would be impossible for most people. But I have the same amount of time that everyone else has in a day, you know, bar God stretching it and enabling me to fit more things in supernaturally. But in reality, my personal development and relationship and engaging the kingdom and my garden and the mountains in heaven and the ark all comes when I spend time with God in the beginning of the day, you know, and that means I have to prioritize that time above everything else, and I do, you know, that time comes first, you know, and I build and develop the relationship there, and I know anyone can do it if they're willing to spend the time. Now, you know, yeah, I've invested a couple of hours a day in my own personal time to give to God as a first fruits of my day, if you like. I want to give that to God. I want to honor him. So that then sets me up for whatever else is coming in the kingdom, you know. So, yeah.
That was great. I think you hit just things that we're all, you know, kind of all going through in it. We all know it's about the relationship and the Lord, but you know, are we really willing to take that time? And it's a personal thing. And I just appreciate your feedback. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Okie dokie. Anyone else got something? Just unmute yourself if you want to share anything or ask.
Yes, this is Pena. Good morning, everybody. I'm new to your group, and I've been on a solitary journey with the Lord, learning about all these experiences and encounters with God and developing my relationship with the Lord. And as I shared the last time, I've been shedding the old DNA through my skin, and I got a revelation this week. It was really interesting. I took communion, and I went through the name of God, and I was really engaging with the Lord, and He put me into the creature that's the wheel within a wheel. That was a new experience for me, where I could see through the eyes of the creature out into various paradigms or universes or different places. And I've been really focusing on building my relationship one-on-one with the Lord by having regular communion with, you know, with the Lord, and taking the elements, taking the body and the blood of Jesus. And this week, the element I transformed as I was taking it. It was gold manna. I had never had that happen before, so obviously I must be doing something right. And I wanted to learn a little more about the stones, because they keep resonating through me, and I don't really know like where to look for information on the stones, because He showed me the 12 stones that are engraved with the names of the tribes, and then He showed me 9 stones that Lucifer had, and then it's like they're fiery stones, and I'm like, I don't really make a connection. I don't understand.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting subject. I think about 3 years ago, I had an encounter where basically I had exactly the same thing. God said, I want you to engage in the stones, you know, engage in the understanding the 9 stones and the things like that. And I started there. And what I found is that the 9 stones are part of the fire stones of Ezekiel 28, where Satan stood on the fire stones and he engaged in the deep revelation of the purpose of God, and he released that out through his body. So in a sense, his 9 stones reflected out what he looked at into the fire stones of God, and that was then to go out into the universe and the revelation, because he was the light bearer and he was also the musician, so he carried frequency, and that frequency would come out through the different stones. So the stones contain a musical frequency as well as light frequency and a vibration of revelation. Now, those 9 fire stones, when I first engaged them, I engaged them as the fruit of the Spirit. So it was very much personal and intimate about connecting with Father, Son, and Spirit, and the 3 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, and peace, you know, which is what we receive when we engage the Father. In John, it talks about his, you know, peace, joy, and those things. And then, you know, you have the different levels there. So each of those initially were my experiences, that I experienced a deep, at a very, very intense level. It wasn't just my emotions, it was my spirit that totally engaged, my whole being engaged in love, joy, and peace, and in patience, kindness, goodness, you know, faithfulness, self-control, and mercy, and all of them, you know. And that was one aspect of it. You know, and as I began to understand transformation and engaging God, I found that that had also an application with the DNA of God and the light strands of DNA, that God has 9 strands of DNA, 3 for the Father, 3 for the Son, and 3 for the Spirit. And so when I began to engage the dance floor around the DNA, I found that the same connection between the stones and the DNA was being released. So there was a frequency, a vibration, a sound, a light, as the DNA of God entwined with mine to bring wholeness and to bring encoding, if you like. My DNA began to get encoded with the frequency of God. And that was quite an intense, again, experience, and I've gone back there many times. Now, obviously, on the breastplate of the high priest, there are 12 stones. And in many people's crowns that I see, there are 12 stones. And the 3 stones are us. You know, it's who we are that makes up the 3 stones of sonship. And so full government in the kingdom comes when there are 12 stones, the 9 of God and the 3 that come from us, because we have 3 strands of DNA, 2 physical strands and 1 light strand of the Spirit, that makes 12. And the interaction with the stones and the colors and the frequency is all about bringing us into transfiguration, into the image of God, so that we can radiate that from us, that we shine that out, that it becomes radiated from us. And each stone in the crown, when you become to administer on your mountain, represents a governmental precept, if you like. Now, when I've been back onto the fire stones, and I've been back there quite a few times recently, I found a whole different dimension to the fire stones. At a deeper level, they talk about the kingdom governmental protocols. And so in those things, there are a whole list of them, you know, when I went on them, I found, you know, I'm trying to find them here because I had a list of them in front of me, which would be easier to show you, to say if I get them all in order. So when I went back on there, I connected up with revelation that I received when I was on my fast 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, 4 years ago now nearly. And so I stepped on the first stone and I began to engage love, but then I began to engage the law of God. Now we know there is the law of love, but there's the law that God has established in the kingdom protocol. And so you have, Ian talks about, Quite in Clayton talks about, you know, 12 laws that come out of Jerusalem, 12 laws that come out of Zion. And he's mentioned the 12 laws that come out of Jerusalem. You know, law of sin and death, the law of life, the law of faith, the law of sowing and reaping. You know, there's a whole list of them. But I've never really heard him talk about the 12 laws that come out of Zion. And when I began to engage on the fire stones again in those 12 stones, I found that it opened up access for me to engage in the court of the councils of the fathers, where the 24 elders are and the Father is on the throne. And I found that they represented the 12 sort of principles of the kingdom, if you like, that we walk in those ways here in this dimension. But the 12 laws that come out of the mountain of God are 12 precepts to help us engage in the kingdom and protocols of the kingdom rule and government. And so the first one was the law of God. The second was the testimonies of God. The third was the ways of God. The fourth, the precepts of God. The fifth, the statutes of God. The sixth, the commandments of God. The seventh, the judgments of God. The eighth, the ordinances of God. And the ninth, the wonders of God. And as I began to just step on those stones, my spirit began to receive the light that was coming from that at another level about those precepts, about those ordinances. And as a result of that, it's opened up another realm where I've engaged with the 12 Chancellor's Houses in the Realm of Heaven, and each one of them, again, represents one of the laws. Now, there's only 9 stones, but there are 12 laws. And so the other 3 are our responsibility, and therefore there's a dimension within those 12 Chancellor's Houses that is our responsibility to begin to release, because that was what Satan saw when he looked into the firestones. He saw the future was that man would rule not only the earth but the heavens, and God had invested in his sons the authority to rule and to establish things in the heavens as well as on the earth. And so I'm just starting that journey to engage in those 12 Chancellor's Houses. I have been to each of them. I know their names, and I know the names of the High Chancellors who operate in them. The only one I've been in 2 now. The only one that I knew of was Melchizedek in the Treasury Room, and he's High Chancellor of the Treasury Room. And so I understand something of that. I've been there and numerous times, and I know about releasing the resources of heaven. So the order of Melchizedek, or Joshua Generation, Joshua Company, whatever, the different names that people have prophetically put in on it, get to administer the laws that come out of the mountain of God, out of Zion, and they are to do with those stones, they're to do with the DNA of God and the light of DNA and the protocols of the kingdom. And so, I now need to pursue understanding those protocols, engaging with the different chancellors, finding out, okay, what's our role in that? But what I have discovered is there are many areas in the kingdom, in the realms of heaven, that are being administered by created spiritual beings, because we are not operating as spiritual sons. And so we have to come back into the fullness of what we should be doing in sonship. Now, I found wisdom on Wisdom's Heights really helpful in engaging some of these protocols, because she has deep insight, being there when everything was created, in terms of all the created beings. She was there at their creation, and in Proverbs 8 it talks about her engaging with kings and princes and nobles in rulership, and in particularly in terms of righteousness and justice, the foundations of the throne of God and the kingdom. And so I think there's engagement there with wisdom that will help understanding how all these things work together. And it can sound really, really complicated, but unless you go and stand on those stones, unless you go and revisit and allow your spirit, my mind could not contain or even remember what was going on. I was fully immersed in it, but my spirit began to draw me as a result towards things. And so often when the light of God engages with our DNA, if you like, and begins to encode it, it's not cognitive to begin with. It's not like God says, oh, I'm doing this, here's a whole list of things I'm doing today. You begin to engage it, and our spirit begins to engage it, and the light of God begins to engage our spirit and programs it, if you like. Because when Adam and Eve were originally created, they were created sinless, but not perfected. They would have still had to have been transformed into the image of Jesus. And there would have been a process that actually Satan should have been involved in shining the light out and reflecting from the 9 stones, the 9 aspects of God that Adam would have ascended to. And it sounds really weird, but some other truth has been adopted by other religions in terms of the steps of ascension and things that actually are relevant to us, but we've ignored them or not understood them. I'm not talking about becoming God, but actually being transformed into the image of God, because we're sons of God in fullness. And Adam would have, and Eve would have gone through the process of engaging those fire stones and engaging in the revelation that came, and it would have changed them and transformed them as they engaged, and they would have had access to different levels of authority as they engaged in it. But they decided to follow a different pathway, and obviously the pathway back into engagement was blocked by the cherubim and the fiery sword. Now it's open. Now we get to go on the paths, those ancient paths, to engage in some of the places that Adam and Eve would have had access to, did have access to, but didn't fully embrace. And so, you know, the whole subject is really, really interesting. It's one that God has given me a thing to pursue and to engage in, so I know I have a mandate to pursue it. But there's a lot more. I'm scratching the surface when it comes to understanding the Firestones, because there is just so much. I know when Ian Clayton said that the spirit of wisdom, when he wanted, or the spirit of knowledge, I think, when he wanted to know everything about God, gave him a blade of grass, and that one blade of grass contained so much it almost exploded his brain. And it's like that. You cannot engage in a cognitive process, I'm going to try and understand the Firestones, because they reflect the image of God. You know, when I went into the dark cloud and I engaged with the person of God, and I looked into one facet of one of the diamonds that were sort of on his face, it just completely just wrecked me. I just couldn't stay. You know, I had to get out, you know, because I thought I'm just going to be completely overwhelmed. And that was just one tiny fragment of looking, you know. And so I think there's multi dimensions of revelation that are in these stones that are for us to embrace. And as we pursue the DNA of God, as we pursue communion and taking that, the life of God and the DNA of God and the light of God, then that transfiguration process will continue, you know, so that we receive everything that we is our inheritance as sons, you know. But it's quite cryptic, and it sounds a bit weird, but, you know, when you step on it and when you engage it, you begin to just understand something of it, even if it's just like, whoa, this is too much for my mind to have contained, but my spirit is being changed and transformed, if you like, in a way. It's difficult to totally get a handle on. But, you know, I think some of that flows out through our spirit gateways, and, you know, light flows out of us and we're supposed to radiate. You know, when Moses spent time in the presence of God in the dark cloud, he came out and his face was shining, because he was in that place where there was an impartation of glory that began to shine out. You know, Jesus shone with glory on the mountain with Elijah and Moses. You know, and there is a sense that's where we're heading. You know, to be radiating the glory of God. For us to be reflecting not just the nine stones, but the 12 stones that are full government. And you know, even, you know, when we're on our throne and we've got our crown, you know, I was talking, you know, earlier today with a guy who, you know, the last time I saw him, I sort of saw that he was given a crown, and the crown had 12 stones. And you know, he shared today that he, this morning or in the last couple of days, he'd been on his mountain and God gave him this stone, and he's like, well, what did he do? He didn't know what to do with it. So he's just stuck it in the river, which is flowing out of his mountain, and the river turned the color of the stone and began to throw out. And it was like, so he said, well, what was all that about? You know? So I said, well, okay, last time I saw you with the 12 different stones, you didn't know what to do with them in the crown. Now God has just shown you what to do with them. You use each stone as something which transforms and flows out of your mountain as a river. Now, in this instance, I felt that the red, because it was a red stone, and he said, well, what's the significance of red? And I'm like, well, what do you think it is? Because your stone, what is God saying to you? You know, but I, you know, he was struggling a little bit. So I said, well, actually, you know, the fact that the river turned red, it's flowing out of your mountain, you know, has God been talking to you about evangelism and being able to engage people? So he said, oh, yeah, strangely enough, he has. And we were talking about that as in our group the other day. So I said, well, you know, you need to see that the river of life, as you administer it, just like in the Ezekiel 47 in the temple, it began to flow ankle deep, and then it began to get knee deep, and then waist deep, and then it was so deep that we were swimming. But actually, wherever that river went, it brought life. It flowed into the sea and transformed the sea. Now, it's biblically, the sea often talks, it means an illustration of nations and the world. So what comes through us as a flow, as we administer the stones and the colors, is to flow out of us so that we bring life. That was just one element. That was to bring life in a sense of engaging people with the kingdom around our lives so that that flow would bring people into life. And that's just one stone. And that was what it represented for him. It may be totally different for you. That's where we have to find the individual connection with God and ask him so that we understand what are the different stones and how am I to administer them and what are they for. You know, because they all have a function. And I would anticipate that they have something to do with the 12 laws and they have something to do with the 12 houses ultimately, you know, but I'm not at that point where I fully understand it yet and fully engage in it. But you know, I'm working on it. Just really, really busy at the minute, so I'm not getting there as quickly as I'd like to, but you know, it's on the agenda because God is you know opened that up. So I mean is that helpful? Or?
I really appreciate you bringing that up about the red stone, because that's one of the stones the Lord gave me was red. I was on my mountain, and originally I didn't know what to do with it, so I put it on my scepter, and then the Lord said, eat it. Yeah. And I'm thinking, eat it, and I took it, and it broke open like a pomegranate, and I've been eating it, and I was getting that it's for the healing of the nations, and you know it's tied in with salvation and nations and healing, and I thought there's a lot I need to learn, and so I've just really been pressing in to learn, and so I visited the Library of God earlier in the week, last week, and I went to the room where they keep the scrolls, and I had mentoring about the scroll of my destiny, and then it was time for me to leave, and so I took the scroll and I stuck it in me, and I figured I had emptied myself out before I went through the veil and before I went through the pathway, and I thought, I'm emptied, so I'm taking that scroll of my destiny with me, and I know God will unfold it. And then wisdom came to engage with me, and I got kind of panicked because I didn't know she was blue.
Yeah.
and it reminded me of the scary movie Avatar.
Right.
And I kind of freaked out, and I kind of like said I had to leave, so I need to go back and engage with wisdom.
Yeah, just look into her eyes. Don't worry too much about the color of her skin. Just look into her eyes.
Oh my God! It was like looking into the universe. Yeah, I wasn't ready for that one. So thank you, because like I said, I'm new to your group, but I've been having all these things happening to me that I thought, Lord, I need help, and I don't even know how I got hooked up with you, but thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. Yeah, I think the key is whatever we take into ourselves has to flow out, you know, and it needs to be flowing out not just in the heavenly dimension but in this one as well, because, you know, rivers of living water are supposed to flow through us to engage the world around us, and we're supposed to water that, just as it came out of heaven in Eden and came into the garden of where Adam and Eve had dominion, it split into four and flowed out into the rest of the world. And now that's us. That's our garden. That's us watering the world. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That river flows through us. It's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper as it flows through us. So when it comes out, it's going to be able to transform everything.
That's encouraging, because I think right now my feet are just in the water, in the river of my water. I think I'm not even ankle deep yet, so at least I know I can go with it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to go back to wisdom, and I'm going to apologize for being ignorant.
She won't have any sort of problem, because she knows exactly where we are with things.
She looked at me and I saw she's blue, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm imagining stuff, you know, like I pulled back because I got a flash of that movie Avatar, and I thought, oh no, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
That's good.
But it's time, because if it wasn't time, she would not have shown herself. So
absolutely, yeah. No, it's absolutely time.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike. You helped me keep my sanity.
You're welcome. Okay. Okay. Anyone else got something they want to share? Or yeah. Do we have time for Mikara? Yeah, I imagine we do, yeah. Okay. Okay. Sure. What's the time? Yeah. I think, you know, to engage the Firestones there, we will, with the time we've got left, we'll probably just need to get straight stuck into it, I think. Normally I like to prepare people somewhat to be able to go there, but so it'll be great. We can do that. All right, let's look just to engage. Just want to encourage you just to activate your spirit and just close your eyes and engage the open heaven, and let's just step in. Just step in now into your presence. Thank you, Jesus. You're our guide. You were there to lead us, and we ask today that you will just take us through the veils and the dimensions to come into the river of fire flowing from the throne. And we just stand by the river of fire and allow the fire of your presence to come around us, that we would be immersed in the fire of your presence, that you would just consume anything that's a hindrance to us right now. as we look at the fire stones that go up towards your throne, we just receive the mandate to step onto the stones. As we step onto that first stone, just let the color and the frequency and become one with the stone. Just allow your spirit to completely engage with the level of revelation, of light, as we absorb that by stepping onto it, absorb it into our spirit, into the DNA, light of our DNA. We just ask that you would take us to a different level. It's amazing to experience your love. But we pray now as we step on that we will go deeper into the law of God and the protocols of your kingdom for rulership. Just let the light encode with revelation of the laws of God. We just take a step. If you want to stay on any one stone, just feel free. But we can take a step, if you choose, onto the second stone. And again, just let all your senses engage with the joy that's there, fullness of his joy, the strength that's released. But we ask for a deeper revelation to be released from the testimonies of God. God's testimonies from before creation. Just let a revelation of the testimonies of how God has worked his ways in works, his testimonies. Just let that revelation again just touch our spirit. Let the light and the color and the frequency of all that it contains just surround us, and as we absorb it into our being. Let's take a step onto the third step. Again, the color, and the frequency, and the fragrance. Just absorb it. Peace. Deep, deep peace. But revelation into the ways of God, God's ways. Let's take another step onto the fourth step. Just allow all that it contains, the nature of God, his patience, perseverance, persistence with us, that we would receive that as a fruit, that we would be perseverant, but at a deeper level, let the precepts of God, the revelation just touch our spirit. God's precepts. Take a step and just embrace the kindness of God in the fullness of understanding as we just absorb the fullness of all that's being released as we look into that stone, as we become one with that stone. Just the statutes of God, His statutes. How we administer those statutes, revelation, the protocol of the kingdom, just let it absorb into our very nature, our very spirit. As we take another step onto the goodness of God. Again, let the fullness of that surround you, flow through you, touch every atom, every particle of your being, God's goodness towards you, and you being the very goodness of God to others. And at a deeper level, let the commandments of God, those things commanded before time, those things are deeply entrenched in the ancient ways. Revelation of those ancient ways and those ancient paths, God's commandments. Just receive that revelation into our spirit. Just take another step into faithfulness, the firestone, revelation of God's faithfulness, His unchangeability, who He was, who He is, that He is, that He is I am, that revelation of the nature of I am just be imparted. And the deeper revelation of the judgments of God from the perspective of who He is, who He was, who He will be, always I am. Always I am. Just let that revelation be absorbed. God's righteous judgments. Now just step onto the step of gentleness and just let the fragrance of gentleness, revelation of gentleness just come around us, totally surrendered, strong, mighty, but surrendered to His purposes, gentle of heart, as we learn from Him, as Jesus was gentle of heart. And that a deeper revelation of the ordinances of God, the resources and ordinances of God, the weapons of God available to us, those ancient weapons, those ancient abilities, those ancient ways being restored, opened up, and available to us. If we're able to embrace the fullness of gentleness, we wear no masks, that we can radiate what that which we receive as we absorb the color and the revelation of that ordinance. as we just take a final step. Just allow the fruit of self-control, self totally under control of the Spirit, revelation of what it means to be Spirit directed, yoked to Him, one Spirit with Him, that revelation of oneness just be imparted to our spirit. As we're there, the wonders of God, a deeper revelation of God's wonders, the awe, awesomeness of God, the awe that we feel as His wonders that go way beyond anything we can imagine or think, the wonders of God. Just absorb it, let it touch you at a genetic level, at a DNA level, let it be absorbed into the very fabric of your being. Now before us is the throne of God. I believe God would have you to walk to the left, to the thrones that are there, going out beyond His throne, to find your throne, where you're seated with Him in heavenly places. This is where you are seated as a son on His throne. And as you find your throne, the name that's there, that new name that He's given you, that new identity, which is your eternal destiny, just be seated as you have the crown and the scepter and the mantle. Just sense the authority of who you are and your identity grow and expand. Know that you're right next to Him. You can reach up with your left hand and engage His right hand, and let the authority that He carries be invested in you, where you can see from the perspective of at rest, seated in this realm with the firestones and your three stones forming the stones of your crown. As you're enthroned here, the investiture and the enthronement takes you to a different level. Just let all that you've received, all your spirit has received on those firestones, all you've absorbed in revelation within your DNA, within the light of your spirit, just feel what it is to be a joint heir, a co-heir, yoked together with Jesus, conform to His image, with the capacity to administer the kingdom, just everything that you've received, just prepare to step back through the veils. Just get yourself ready to bring back into this realm and to allow your spirit to rule from the revelation it's received. Allow your spirit to release that fruit through the gateways of your spirit, soul, and body. As you begin to radiate and flow with life. So we can just step back now into this realm, carrying that testimony. Okay. Okay. So, I've sort of gone beyond trying to understand what happens there now to just absorbing it and letting it then come out. Over the next few days, I find that my spirit just starts to direct me to places and to do things that I never thought of doing before, because it's been encoded with revelation of how to function in the kingdom in different ways, and just to be expectant for that, to be released. Okay.
Did anybody else's ears pop? It was like changing a complete atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it was like when you would say partake, it was more like the imbibing, like totally soaking everything in, like a total marinade. And it was like almost like walking on like jelly beans of different colors and flavors. It was really awesome.
Okay. Yeah, it's different. Everyone will experience it differently, but it is a very much an intense experience that will be transformatory, really. It will transform things going forward, And I encourage you to keep going back,
Yeah. I build a pathway so that it's quick for me to get in there.
Yeah.
As you were walking us through, the fire and the veil and the fire, immediately I saw the river right there. And so I just stepped into the first stone I saw. It was an opal. It was pink. And it was like alive with golden sparks, like the July 4th of July sparkles. And as I stepped into it, it was so tremendous to my senses that I started weeping. It just was transforming. And like you said, it has a frequency. It's got a flavor, like it goes through you and it's got a flavor. I'm still tasting it. That's why I said it's like jelly beans. I want to hear other people's experience.
Okay. So I've got a couple of minutes if anyone wants to share anything. But I need to go. Anyone else want to share anything? Feel free. It's okay if you don't listen, I understand. Sometimes I come out of a place and it's like, so it's good. Okay.
Last time I encountered the lion of the Lord, and I saw him, but not as strong, and he like blows over me. I mean, it's just like the wind of the spirit and the lion.
Yeah. Well, there's something very ancient about that process, because, you know, when I first saw creation, it was the lion roaring, and it just everything flowed out. You know, and there's something about that which is quite, you know, is an ancient thing, but actually it becomes very real, you know, today, you know, for us. So yeah, that's good. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there.